appreciate your hospitality, your love for missionaries. We appreciate your help in this time when we're definitely in a situation with some need. And we certainly appreciate all you've done for us, all you are doing. And we just want to thank you for your kindness to the family at this hour as well. And let's look in our Bibles here this evening. And I want to spend a few minutes here. We'll look at Genesis chapter number 26. And this past Sunday, we were down in our work down in south on the right on the border there in El Paso area, just east of El Paso, a little town by the name of San Elizario. About 50,000 people in that area, 90-some percent Hispanic, probably like 99%. We've been knocking doors now for the last 4 years in that area, and so far I've spoken English one time in our door knocking. So it's been total Hispanic in the area. We've seen people getting saved. The work has been growing. They're in San Elizario now. We've been averaging about 120 on Sunday mornings, which has been very good. And then our evenings, we're averaging right around 70 on Sunday evening and also Wednesday evening. So we're excited about what's going on here and going on down there. Down in Los Mochis, the work has really been moving forward quite well, and God's been blessing there. The anniversary was back in January, and we saw the attendance there hit 330 during their anniversary. And now they're averaging, I guess, about 120 on Sunday morning. We go back quite frequently with them. We were planning on organizing the church. It's still yet to be organized. The plan was to organize in January, and then in January we also ordained the man that will be taking over, man that we raised up there in Los Mochis as well, doing a spectacular job there in Los Mochis. And then we just got a little bit of a problem came up. I'm sure you all heard about El Chapo Guzman that got caught in Los Mochis. That's the city we were in. But it's actually a little bit closer than that, because he actually got caught in the house that was our house for 10 years there in Los Mochis. I sold it 3 years ago, and they turned it into a hideout for him. And of course, we had no idea that was happening. And so he got captured in our house. If you saw the news reports with the White House behind the trees, that was our house for 10 years. And so we got a little bit closer than we really wanted to in the situation there. But do pray for the work down there. Pray for us as well. And again, we'd certainly appreciate it. We'll be heading back down to the border next week and working our way back down that direction. Genesis chapter 26. Why don't you just read two verses here this evening. We'll have a word of prayer and look to what God might have for us this evening. Genesis 26, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." Let's have a word of prayer this evening as we look to His Word. Father, we thank You today for the privilege of serving You. Lord, we thank You for what You've done in our lives. Lord, we thank You not only for the promise of heaven after this life, but we thank You, Lord, for the promise of life during this life. Lord, this evening I do pray that You'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that You'd use us. Father, I do pray for the activities be going on for the next few days here with the banquets and, of course, the funeral to be happening on Friday. Lord, I do pray that You'd speak as well. Father, we thank You for what You've done. Bless this time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I want to speak a few minutes this evening, really, on moving forward. Moving forward. If we look at this, we find verse number 13 says, "The man waxed great." Speaking of Isaac here, he waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. What I want to speak on for a few minutes is moving forward. Now, folks, we need to realize, first of all, as we think about life, we realize life continues to move forward. The years continue on. The growth happens. Things happen. Life is moving forward. And, folks, when we think about our Christian life, really the purpose of our Christian life is to move forward. What we don't want to do is stay the same. We don't want to remain static. stagnant. We don't want to have things growing around us. We as Christians should not be content with simply maintaining our walk with Christ. We should be concerned about moving forward in a relationship with Christ. The truth is, we cannot maintain our life. We're either going to move closer to the Lord or we're going to move further away from the Lord. As we think about Isaac here at this moment, we realize who Isaac's dad was. Of course, we realize that was Abraham. We need to realize how great a man Abraham was. We realize the great possessions that Abraham had. He was a very blessed man of God financially. He had great wealth. And of course, Isaac being his son, his only legitimate son now, he gets all that Abraham had. Now, folks, as we think about that this evening, I want us to liken what's going on in Isaac's life. And as we begin, we see his life begins, we realize he's not content just simply to ride the coattail of his dad, but rather he wants to move ahead in his own life. Now, folks, I want to think about that for a few moments. You know, many times we have the idea, the ones that are well off or the wealthy, you know, they may have it easy in life, and us that live the way we live, well, we just have to do the best we can. I want to think about it for a moment. You know, if you were to be the son of a wealthy man, let's just kind of throw out a name that's kind of a common name we're hearing a lot, and that might be Donald Trump. You know, if Donald Trump was your dad, and all the wealth that he has, you know, what kind of expectation would you have in life? And you might be thinking, well, man, I wouldn't have to work anymore. If I had somebody like that, maybe I could go take those cruises that I've always wanted to take. Maybe a perpetual vacation. A lot of things we could do in our lives. Maybe buy all those things that we've always wanted to buy. But, you know, when we begin to look at millionaires, the statistics show us that most millionaires within 3 generations lose their entire wealth. So we realize that wealth does not last long. Why doesn't it last long? Well, because the ones that inherit that wealth do not move forward. Rather than moving forward with what they have, they spend what they have. And so we realize that Isaac now, he inherited all that Abraham had. Instead of taking it easy and sitting back on the chair and having the servants do all the things for you and just have a nice, easy life, what we realize is that Isaac now desires to go forward. Now, folks, we need to realize in our life, we need to either go forward or we're going to go backwards. And we need to realize the need to go forward in our life. Now, as we think about that, I want to spend a few minutes. I want to look at Isaac's life a little bit. And then what I want to realize is the life that you and I have. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ desires to be glorified in our lives. He desires to be honored with our lives. God desires that His message go out into all the lands and all the areas in life. Right here in Jackson, we realize that God desires on it. So I want to realize a few things about that. I want to think about a few things on it as we look at this evening's message. First of all, I want us to realize that going forward comes from a desire for change. If we do not desire to go forward, we'll not go forward. If we do not have desire for a change in our life, in our own life, we won't move any direction in our own life. How many people do we know that it seems like they just never change? You know, some people tell me, man, it doesn't seem like you change at all. I don't know how to take that. I really don't like to take that well. I'd like for you to see some change in my life. The truth is that we need to have desire to have change. If not, we'll just spend our entire life running around in circles, doing the same thing, basically getting nothing done, and life will become just a routine in our life. So realize that now he had a desire. Verse number 12, Isaac sowed in that land. What does that mean? Well, that means that Isaac worked. Isaac didn't sit back. We don't see that Isaac sent his servants out to sow. No, the Bible says Isaac sowed. I believe that Isaac was personally involved in the work that was there. What he wanted to do is take what he had, which was seed, and make more that he could get from what he did have. Now, folks, you need to realize our lives are seed. As the pastor said just a moment ago, on Friday we'll have a funeral. There'll be a group together that will never be together again. The truth is, we need to realize that our life is seed. Now, we can either use our life to gain more, we can use our life for God's purpose, or we can waste our lives on ourselves. Now, Isaac, he could have easily decided to take the easy way out. Abraham, my dad, has done a lot with his life. Abraham, my dad, has given a lot of land to me, a lot of possessions to me. I really don't need to do anything with my life. I can enjoy the blessings of the life that I have. Folks, we as Christians, we need to realize we're enjoying the blessings that God has given us. You know, the Christian life is a wonderful life. It's a life that we have the blessings and the peace and the joy in our life that the world does not understand. And you know, many times as we get saved and we know Christ is our Savior, we become content the fact that our life, that we're saved. We don't have to worry about anything now. When we die, we will go to heaven. We'll spend our eternity with Jesus. The truth is, what we need to be is not content with the life that we have. We need to desire to see our life move forward. As we think about that, we realize that our spiritual life, and Isaac, as he was blessed, we realize that we are also blessed. Here's a reason that God's people were blessed financially. You know, in the Old Testament, many times we see financial blessings in their lives. You know, many times we don't see that in our lives, in our personal lives, the way we see it in the Old Testament. You know, we realize that God was giving an example for us to realize what he wanted us to do. With salvation, we are blessed and prospered by God. A true blessing has very little to do with our finances. You know, we as our in our Western mindset, when we use the word blessing, when we use the word getting something, we always equate it with a financial end. Well, the truth is, the real blessings from God many times have very little to do with a financial end. God has great blessings that he gives us, and we have true blessings in our life. Our inheritance is in heaven. The Bible speaks of the mansions, speaks of the street of gold, speaks of the pearls, speaks of the jewels. You know, when we look at heaven, basically it's a pretty nice place, folks. And that's where we're going to spend all eternity. You know, this life is just a drop in the bucket compared to what eternity has for us. You know, we realize that all of us here, you know, good friends here on earth and healthy relationships, we realize that is a blessing from God. We've been in three main areas down in Mexico over the last 30-some years. We've been in Chihuahua, Guerrero, Chihuahua. We started out there. We've been in Los Mochis, Sinaloa. And now we're up on the border at San Elisario. And that's our third area that now we're functioning, working in. As we go into those areas, go back to it, we have many friends and acquaintances, people that God has given us, people we've led to Christ, people that their lives are changed. You know, those are a blessing of what God gives to us. God gives us a good relationship. God gives us children. God gives us grandchildren. God gives us family. That's a blessing from God. We need to realize not everyone has that blessing. Realize good relationship with God, walking in obedience. It's a blessing from God. Not all Christians walk in obedience. Folks, it's a blessing to have a part of allowing God to work in our lives. Good healthy relationships that come from our walk with God. Blessings that everybody does not have. Folks, we realize that Isaac now, he was not content with the blessing, but rather he wanted to go further in his blessing. Now we realize again what Isaac had. Not only material blessings, but he had servants. He had all the people do everything. He had a lot of things already given to him, but that was not enough to stop moving forward in his life. Now, folks, we need to realize we need to have a purpose in our life of not sitting where we're at, but rather moving forward in our personal life. Isaac, he was not content with just a blessing, but I realize he also wanted to be powerful. There in verse number 13 says, "The man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." We're talking about a powerful man, a man that wanted to move forward in his life. We should not be content with a life that's just simply living, waiting to die. What are you doing with your life? Well, I'm just living it. Well, I don't want to just live it. I don't want to be living, waiting for death. I want death to take me while I'm still working, while I'm still living. I want to have purpose in my life. In Spanish, one of the very first phrases that I ever learned, we were in language school. I didn't like that word. It was simply a word, pasándola. The phrase said, ¿qué tal, Fernando? And then he would answer back and he'd say, pasándola. What he's speaking of, just kind of hanging out and living the life and just sitting back and relaxing. Folks, that's not life. That's not life. Life is getting what God would have us to do with the life we have. Folks, realizing that someone is out there that needs to have the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, folks, giving to the missions is also being involved with getting the gospel out to people that do not have the gospel. Folks, we need to realize we need to have a desire and a goal in our life. We need to be involved in every area we can possibly be in. We need to have purpose and drive in the life that God's given us. I realize that when I look at the disciples, they were kind of concerned about power as well. We're not going to look over there right now for sake of time. We can see an area where the disciples now were talking to Jesus. And now, Jesus, who's going to be on your right hand? And who's going to be on your left hand? And basically what they're saying was, what position am I going to have in heaven? What kind of area, what are you going to give me? And you know, Jesus basically rebuked them, said, you know, those things are in God's power. That's in God's hand. What I want you to realize is I want you to be involved in what I'm telling you to do. Folks, you realize God has some great things for us. That's in His hand. What He wants us to be is involved and be obedient with that which He's already given us. And by the way, just a few verses after that little discourse that He had with the disciples, then we see Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And then the Bible says, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Basically, He's telling the disciples, now, you're going to have power. You're going to get things done. God's going to use you, not for you, but for His glory. And folks, God desires to use us. He has a purpose in our lives. And we need to realize, folks, that God desires. You know, how does the power come? You know, the power comes, number one, from a good relationship with God. We need to have a proper and a good relationship. We need to realize it comes from God working in you. The Bible used the word transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. What is that transformation? That transformation is a change from within in which God molds us and makes us to be the person that He desires to get His job done. We realize that it's a good relationship with God. It's God working in us. We realize that as we think about what do we desire? What do we desire from our pastor? What do we desire for our pastor, Pastor Zawadzki, as he'll be up here as he's preaching week after week? Do you want just a laid-back, quiet individual, just nothing really moves him? Well, if you want that, you got the wrong one, didn't you? Now let's flip that around. What do you think your pastor wants of you? Now, folks, you don't want a laid-back, do-nothing, get-nothing-done pastor. You don't want a pastor who's going to spend all his time in his home and in bed or watching TV. You don't want that. Now, folks, I'll give you a hint. He doesn't want that of his membership either. When you realize God has desires in our life, and the desire is God working in us. You know, we realize that the change came by waxing great. Verse number 13 says, and the man waxed great. What that basically means is he grew. Isaac was the little boy. And by the way, if you remember the little boy that went up into the mountain where he's going to be sacrificed, and he thought his life was finished. He was willingly giving his life. Now, if that's what his dad wanted, that's what I want. But now we realize he's waxed great. Basically, it's talking about a great change in his life. He's not that little boy anymore. But now he's a man of God that God is working in. Folks, what we need to desire in our life is that God would change us and mold us and make us into that which we are not. Waxing great, God working on it. We realize that He took what He had and He made it greater. You know, Isaac didn't choose that which he had. It was given to him by his dad. We realize that Isaac took that which he had. Isaac, what do you want? Well, he doesn't know what he wants. He just takes what he has. Now, folks, a few years back, you had a new pastor come in, Pastor Zawadzki. He didn't choose what he had. You were it. That was as good as it was going to get. But what does that mean? He took that which he had, and now he's making it greater. Folks, we need to realize that God gives us that which we have. What his desire is, we take that which he has, use it as seed to make things even greater than that which we do have. You know, God wants, he wants our life to be a blessing. We realize that the pastor didn't, his job was to take it and make it greater. A few weeks ago, I guess it's been a few months ago now, I heard about a family in a church that when a visitor would come and visit the church, this particular family would make it a point to go and visit that new person just visited. But the purpose of visiting that person was not really to encourage him back, but it was basically to go and see if that was the type of family that they wanted inside their church. That's a pretty horrible thing, you know. What they basically want is they want a ready-made family. They don't want to take a family and make it the family to fit the church. Folks, our job is not to go out and look for the good people that are out there, but rather to take people that are ordinary people, people that may have a lot of flaws, maybe some long hair, right, Pastor? Maybe some long hair, people that look like maybe they don't have quite what we think they ought to have, and make them great. Make the change in their life. So many times we spend our life looking for what's easy or easy on me rather than taking the tough one and making them a better person. We realize that when you come in, folks, we realize that Isaac took that which he had and made it greater. Folks, it's our job to take that which God has given us and make it greater. You didn't receive the life. You didn't choose the life that you received. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose where you're living. Now, I know we can all move. We can all go anywhere we want to go. But you didn't choose your heritage. You didn't choose your background. It was given to you. God gave you that which you need. God gave me that which I need. So what he wants me to do is take that which I have and make it greater. Make it greater. So many times we sit back and we'll complain about, well, I can't do like so-and-so's doing. And I don't have the talent that this guy has. And I can't preach like this other guy can preach. And I can't give like this other wealthy person can give. And we start spending all this time about we can't do what all these others are doing, neglecting that which God has given us. God has given us what He desires us to use. What we need to do is be faithful with that which we have. Now for Isaac, he took it. He had an easy road out, but instead of taking that easy road, he went and made it larger and greater. Folks, we need to realize, we need to decide what we're going to do. We have a church that needs us. You have a family that needs you. We all have an area to fit in to make things greater with the ones that are around us. So many times we'll spend our time cutting down and belittling and pulling people down to our level and spend our time rather than pulling people up and making things greater, we end up making things worse. Your church needs you. Your family needs you. God's put you in a place to get something going. So as we think about that, the first thing I want to look at here for just a moment, and we just looked at, is I want to realize that it comes from a desire to change. If you do not have a desire to change, you'll not change. If you don't have a desire to do greater things, you'll not do greater things. If you don't have a desire to go out and work and make it work, it won't work. Isaac, if you don't take it and go out and sow, it'll not reproduce. You'll not make anything bigger. You'll not make anything greater. So what we need, first of all, is that desire, a desire to go forward. Second thing I want to notice here is going forward comes by leaving things behind. You know, if we're going to move forward, there are certain things in our life that we're going to have to leave behind. As we look at Isaac here, we notice a few things he left behind. Verse number 1 here, we're in Genesis chapter 26, verse number 1 says, "And there was a famine in the land." Now, what's a famine? Well, a famine is when there is no rain happening, a lot of things not going. It's tough. There's a famine in the land. Now, we realize, just moving up to verse number 12, he's now sowing. He's sowing in a time when most people would recommend don't sow. We're having a famine. Don't do that. What he did is he left behind the famine. Left behind the hardships. Left behind the excuses. Again, he didn't have to sow. He could have just lived on what he had. But instead, he's leaving behind the unfruitful time. Folks, in our lives, we need to leave behind the unfruitful part of our life. So many times, our lives are so wrapped up in things that have zero benefit. I learned a long time ago, you can stay busy and do nothing. You can be up every morning and move a lot of things, get a lot of stuff done, but you look back at the end of the year and you're basically right back in the same spot. I had an uncle, he passed away last year and over down in Indiana, and he passed away, but he was an uncle, probably one of the most busiest men I knew. And when he passed away, I had to help my dad empty out, I think it was 7 storage rooms that he had rented, and a couple of houses and a couple of barns and a couple of buildings. And I mean, it was a literal mess. His whole day was spent moving this to there and moving this back over to here and organizing this and taking care of this. And I'm talking about, folks, long hours working, doing a lot of work. And folks, at the very end, we filled dumpster after dumpster after dumpster of his life work. It's all gone now. The house that he had, they had to demolish it. There was no saving of the house. What am I saying? You can be busy and do absolutely nothing. You can be busy and have absolutely no fruit for the end of your life. Folks, we need to realize where the important things are. We need to realize what the important areas were. So we realize he left behind the famine. He left behind the time that was unfruitful, the parts that didn't work, the parts that didn't need to be involved in. Folks, we need to realize famine is when you're ceasing to be able to eat. We need to feed ourselves spiritually. So we realize he left the famine behind. We notice another thing he left behind. Verse number 3, we're still here in Genesis chapter 26. Verse number 3, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give thee all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." Now what's happening now is he's leaving the world. God's saying, "Now I want you to leave this area. This is where I want you to be. And by the way, for an inheritance, I'm going to give you it all." Now folks, we realize we need to leave the world to be able to gain the world. So many times we live in the world, as the world, and we have no influence in the world. Now basically what he was saying was, "Isaac, you're going to leave that. I'm going to make you great, and then I'm going to give you that." Now folks, our job is to win the world. I'm not against the world. I'm against worldliness. I'm not against the people in the world. God loves them. God wants to save them. The Bible says He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire is to get the gospel to them. We need to do it the right way. So realize they left the world. Egypt, the type of the world. The customs were worldly. The desires were worldly. The world is always referred to as going down to it. And folks, if we don't, as Christians, if we can't figure out how to leave the worldliness so that we can gain the world, we'll never gain the world. We need to also leave those that will not follow. Verse number 4, "And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, And we're going to continue on in the story, and we'll just kind of leave it with that. What he had to do is he had to leave. He had to leave those that would not follow. There were ones that were dragging him back. There were ones that were dragging him back to the world. So he finally came to the point where he had to leave those that would not follow. Now, folks, we need to realize there are some people that are just not good for you. There are some people just not good for me. Sometimes you have to leave so you can move forward. I had a good friend of mine, my closest friend. In fact, I was best man in his wedding. He was best man in my wedding. Years before that, we were good friends, and our lives together were not going well. Spiritually, we were not doing what we should have been doing. Finally, it came to one day, and I told his name was Aaron. I said, Aaron, I said, I got to go forward. God's convicted me. I went forward. I got my life right. And I said, Aaron, I can't go forward with you as my friend. So I'm sorry. I'm going to have to leave you and move forward. Toughest thing I probably ever did in my life. After that, it wasn't a week later, he went forward. And his life got straightened out. By the way, we became very good friends again. But this time going the right direction. Folks, we need to realize, sometimes we have to leave things. Sometimes we have to leave habits. Sometimes we have to leave things that we're doing. They may not even be wrong things, but they're not right. They're not good for you. They're not aiding you in the job that we have. And so we realize that Isaac now, he's leaving some things. He had to leave those that would not follow. Priorities, had to decide the direction of where he was going to go. If others will not leave, we need to realize if others want to move forward, sometimes we have to leave them behind. So going forward, number three, enables you to become a strong Christian. Now folks, as a Christian, we should desire a strong Christian life. We should be like Paul, desiring to be for his life to be laid up. Folks, as we think about our life today, going forward enables us to be that strong Christian. Verse number 13 again, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Folks, it came forward. It takes a strong Christian to be able to go forward. Strong Christians are consistent Christians. Strong Christians are those that change the ones that are around them. Strong Christians are not changed for the negative or changed by the weaknesses of others. Folks, when we realize that going forward will allow us to be that strong Christian. Folks, where is our life going and what are we heading for? You know, one day we're going to be as my mother-in-law. There'll be a funeral. Folks, when that happens, it's over. On earth, it's over. Now realize heaven's continuing. I'm talking about earth right now. This is where we have our place to be of service. This is where we have where God's given us what we have. We need to take that which we have and move forward. Why? Because God has great things for us. He has great things for our family. He has great things for our grandchildren. He has great things for our church. And folks, our church is composed of us. Not those, us. Our church is composed of me. Folks, we need to move forward. If we desire our church to go forward, Loomis Park Baptist, we must go forward. If we desire our family to go forward, we must go forward. If we desire our life to go forward, we must go forward. God's given us that which we need to get the job done. Let's bow our heads for just a moment here.